This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so I asked this question to Sean Morash. I asked this question to myself. I asked this question to everybody listening at home right now or in their car. Are you worried? Because we are a week into spring training, and both of our baseball teams have questions that can worry some. First, we have Sean Manaea. It is an oblique issue. He will not throw for a couple of weeks. The hope is we see him in mid-April. Are you worried? Giancarlo Stanton is on a jet plane back to New York. The tennis elbow is still bothering him. God knows when we'll see him. Are you worried? Jason Dominguez can't catch a fly ball in left field. Are you worried? So as we sit here, a week into spring training, still more than a month away before opening day, we as Met fans, we as Yankee fans, ask ourselves a very important question. Are you worried?
Yes.
You are worried?
Very worried.
About the Dominguez part, the Giancarlo part, or all of the above?
First of all the above. Dominguez I'd rank as last. This is what some might say spring training is for. Let's figure that out. He's not a natural left fielder. Let's figure that out. Nonetheless, I don't want him, his defensive liabilities costing him at bats. But I'm very worried. Anytime Giancarlo Stanton is getting on an airplane before the rest of the team is and heading back, that's usually not a good sign. And if I was a Met fan like yourself, Evan, we've already lost Montas for God knows how long. Sean Manaea, and I know it's the opposite side of his throwing arm or whatever, anytime you're having anything, you know, oblique, lat, any of that related, I'm very worried we're not going to see him for quite some time either.
Well, let's start with your worry,
okay.
And I will address my worry, because we all have worries as we sit here on February 24th. The Giancarlo Stanton thing is almost impossible not to worry about. The fact that he's coming back to New York, the fact that this elbow issue, the dueling tennis elbow issue, has been a problem for a while, and it's continuing to be a problem as a worry. But the other thing that we always have to take into account, and we will when we talk about Sean Manaea as well, is, all right, who replaces him? And what really does worry me about the Yankee offense is that they got a lot of guys who, yeah, if things break right, they should have a decent lineup. But if you take one or two guys away, where's the depth? Like, right now, if you're a Yankee fan and Giancarlo is not ready for opening day, okay, who's the opening day DH? Is it Everson Parara coming off Tommy John surgery? Is it DJ LeMahieu with Oswald Peraza playing third? Is it Ben Rice?
Probably.
That's where my worry is. A, Stanton has an injury history, and B, I don't know if the Yankees are fully equipped to deal with losing him for a while.
This has been my concern. Not the specific injury, but my concern when we placed our... ironically, you're calling it worries, our big predictions for the year 2025. And I said, I have this weird feeling we're going to be all hyped up for baseball season, and both of our teams fall short. And Tiki asked that question why to me. And my point, and he didn't like hearing this at the time, was injuries to their main guys. Because Stanton, and to a lesser extent Judge for now, have a history of not staying healthy. And they were able to get by last year. Stanton missed a minimal amount of time. When he did, they still had Juan Soto there. Their depth is a problem. And Giancarlo Stanton, everything you hear now from where we were last week with double tennis elbow to flying back to New York, this sounds ominous, Evan. And I have a feeling we're looking up at fireworks in the sky celebrating our nation's independence before we see Stanton. More on that later. And I don't know how you survive that without reaching into your pocket once more to acquire somebody.
So you want someone still sitting in free agency?
Can I give my name?
Of course. If the guy's still out there, they're available. And if they're still available, then bringing them up on February 24th is a hell of a lot more realistic than naming a guy on a different roster who you have to trade for when we're not even sure if that team has the proclivity to want to deal that guy.
I'm going through summer wear right now, Evan. I'm about to go on a vacation in a couple weeks, and I pulled out a shirt yesterday that dawned on me.
Yes.
It simply said dogs on it with a chain.
Oh, come on.
Where's Doogie? He's a free agent, and I think he actually helps in two ways. Number one, if you get to opening day, you cannot afford with Stanton out to lose Jason Dominguez's bat.
Right.
And if you're very worried about his fielding in left field, well, Doogie could go play left, and we know he could play good defense. Have Jason Dominguez be your opening day DH. And number two, even if you want to keep Dominguez out there, for lack of a better, you know, idea, I'd rather Verdugo in the lineup every day than Everson Parra right now. Doogie's available. You have familiarity. Let's go get him.
And he can grow his beard out.
Yes, he can. Woof, woof, woof.
I mean, we could get a different Verdugo. It's funny. Alex Verdugo's year last year, to me, was overall, like, not a good year. He did not have a good statistical year. He got worse as the season went on. He was one of the worst offensive outfielders in baseball.
I wanted him benched. Now, right. What a bag.
But you are actually right. I mean, you're right, because when there are injuries in February, I think what we have to do, and we'll get into the Met worries in a second, and you'll see how, at least in my opinion, there's kind of a difference in approach that each team should take. But when you're going to be down a guy, and potentially maybe down the guy for a while, this is actually a great opportunity to bring somebody in where it only costs you money.
Yes.
Trading for someone in February and March is desperation. Most teams are not looking to trade people right before the season starts. So picking up Alex Verdugo, who's still a free agent and is still available, coming off a terrible season and basically saying to him, look, Doogie, it's a lot different this year. You are a fourth outfielder. You are a guy who may get some at-bats. You may not. We'll see how it goes. Does offer you insurance, because my biggest worry with the Yankee lineup, like on paper, the Yankee lineup can be decent. I can rationalize it kind of easily, like Goldie bounces back. Cody gives you a similar year to last year. Like Volpe takes a little bit of progress. Jazz Chisholm has a full year here. I'm very high on Jazz.
Austin
Judge
Wells.
Like the lineup's fine.
Yeah.
But they don't have a lot of depth. And taking Big G out of the middle of the lineup, it changes things.
And shame on you if you're looking at the Stanton injury right now, flying back to New York going, look, we could survive until he gets back. Maybe, but can you survive while he's out and, dare I say, Goldschmidt gets hurt, causing, you know, Bellinger to have to go to first, or Belly gets hurt, or Judge gets hurt?
Right.
How are you assuming the rest of these starters in the lineup are going to be completely healthy till Stanton comes
back? So, I'm glad you made that point. So, let's shift rather briefly to Sean Manaea and the Mets, and we'll hear from Yankee fans and Met fans to begin the program today, 888-808-1019, and I guess we could further the are you worried question. And we could ask that question a little bit later on to Thomas Jefferson Aloysius Lugauer and every other Knick fan in our audience right now. Are you worried? We could even include that question to the 12 Net fans out there.
Yeah.
The tank is dead. Are you worried? We could even include Giant fans. Matthew Stafford's agent's going to get to talk to everybody. You may screw this thing up and actually acquire a 37-year-old quarterback when you're nowhere close to winning.
Are you excited?
Are you worried?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to frame that a little differently.
Are you excited? Yes, I am. Very much so.
My point is, we'll get to all of that as the show rolls on, but you said something very smart.
Ranger fans, are you worried?
Well, you give up 5 goals in the first period to the Buffalo Sabres. The answer is yes. But you brought up a great point about it's not one guy getting hurt, it's who's next. So let me address Sean Manaea. Can you ask me if I'm worried?
Are you worried about Sean Manaea?
On the surface, no, because it's an oblique issue. Carlos Mendoza, who I think is very upfront. This is not the same manager as Mickey Callaway or Terry Collins, not to bash him, but there's felt like a dishonesty in the past with the Mets. It doesn't feel like there is one with Carlos. So when he says, hey, it's not really a serious oblique, he could actually throw maybe in a week, maybe 14 days, maybe 21 days. We'll see. I hear that and I say, okay, like Shamania being back in the middle of April is not crazy. And if you're a geek like myself and you look at the Mets schedule and you go day by day, you realize, wow, the Mets could get away with a 5-man rotation instead of a 6-man rotation. They could play with the off days. Bottom line is Shamania may miss a handful of starts. And when you frame it that way, it's not a big deal. And so from that standpoint, no, I'm not worried. But here's where I am worried.
Okay.
They've already lost Frankie Montas.
Yep.
They now have lost Sean Manaea, and Mendy describes it as it could be minor. It may not be. Manaea may not pitch till June. We don't know. Just because he says, yeah, he could throw it a few weeks doesn't mean he will. And so now if you're down two of your starters, then you start to say, well, I am getting worried.
Sure.
You know, Griffin Canning is one thing. If we're looking at Brandon Waddell, that's another thing. And I go back to your point about Verdugo. Verdugo's sitting right there. If the Yankees want to call him and sign him, they can do that. Jose Quintana is sitting right there. There will be a day, maybe 2 weeks from now, maybe 5 days from now, where Alex Verdugo is not a phone call away, where Jose Quintana is not a phone call away.
You're damn right.
So am I worried? On the surface, no. But in 2 weeks, I could easily be panicking. When we get a tweet from Mike Puma that says Kodai Senga has an ingrown toenail, I will be worried if we get that. And so I think if you're the Mets and the Yankees, you can very easily write a check for a backup plan. You can write a nice little check to say, all right, let me bring Doogie in just in case. And if you're the Mets, you can do the same thing with Sexy Q. You can say, look, I can make this rotation work if I'm just minus Montas and just minus Manaea for a few weeks, but what if I'm not? And so from that standpoint, I'm worried. That's why, on a scale from 1 to 10, my worry around Manaea sits at around a 5. It's somewhere in the middle. Mm. But my worry with Big G is probably somewhere near an 8 because I hear Stanton go back to New York, and I think we all assume, oh my God, we may not see him for months. With Manaea, there is still that possibility. This is just a nagging couple of weeks, and he's back in the middle of April. What say you?
And for anybody that moves, you know, note, how good could doctors be in Florida? We're always flying these guys back to New York. That's always a concern.
You know the reason.
I'm kidding. All right. Now, Evan, look, here's why you should be worried. You called me out on being dead wrong last year on something.
And I did.
Was dead wrong.
What was I? What did I call you out on? And that I was right about. I like to hear this.
A couple weeks past.
Time out. Before you continue, it's 2:12. We're sitting here on a Monday, the final week of February. Tommy, is it going through your brain? What's going through my brain? Go ahead.
It absolutely is going through my brain. There is, well, first of all, that shirt you're wearing, the Sweet 16's down the hall. It's in the other hall, and you're not wearing something.
Oh, the L.
Yeah,
get it for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
As you're about
to... I'm not getting anything for you. You get it yourself.
Paulie Rosenberg, you're the producer.
You don't work for him. You get it yourself.
I'll get it.
Can you get up and get it? I'll stall for 30
it's
seconds.
Right above you. You see the rope hanging. There you go.
You know what reminded me, by the way? It's not that I'm on top of him wearing the L that he's still paying his dues on for the Eagles and Saquon winning the Super Bowl. It's the fact that Sean said, I was wrong about something from a year ago, and it made me think, wow, L-worthy, and you weren't wearing your L. All right, Paul Rosenberg has just placed the L around Sean's neck. You look very good.
Thank you.
And now that the L is around your neck, please continue your point on where I schooled you last year.
Evan, we were a couple weeks before spring training, and the Mets did something that you wanted them to do. They signed J.D. Martinez.
I remember that.
And Tiki was out, and you and I had this exact argument. Do you remember what I said to you?
It doesn't matter. They suck anyway.
Right. How many more wins is it going to tack on? Right?
Yes, yes.
And clearly, J.D. Martinez at points last year, yes, he had his down moments, was a huge reason for some of the Met wins that ended up being the difference in them making the playoffs or not.
He didn't have a great year. He did hit a walk-off home run. He had some success, and the locker room impact was pretty big.
Right. Okay, so I say that to say, you have made the case on this show that the National League is a lot more difficult path than the American League, correct?
Yes.
We have no idea where the Mets will finish in this NL East, and you were very fearful, maybe fearful is the wrong word, Phillies and Braves, very good teams, yes?
Yes.
Padres lurking behind the Dodgers, yes?
Every game matters, yes.
Yeah, it sounds silly over 162 games to worry about three or four starts, if that's it, at a minimum, and then you throw in the Montas ones, but you signed Sean Manaea, and you, we're going to get the audio in a little bit, have high faith in him in the top of the rotation. You know, three or four starts could result in two more losses, could result in them out of the playoffs, which is why, to me, I would be worried if I was the Mets because your rotation was already a question mark that he gave
up. No, it's absolutely a fair point. Every game matters, and the Mets are going to be in a dogfight. I'm not even talking about to win the division, to make the playoffs. The league is very good. The league is very tough. And so when I sit here and tell you, hey, if it turns out to be as minor as Mendy described, we're really only talking about three or four starts in April. It's not that big of a deal. You're right. If you lose those three games and that's 89 wins instead of 92 right. wins, that could be the difference between making the playoffs right. and not. But I'm also realistic to know that signing Jose Quintana comes at a 110% tax rate. And I don't think the Mets are going to do it until they feel an air of desperation, which right now they don't have. What I have right now is some worry. My worry is they're already down Montas. They're going to be down Manaea for a period of time, hopefully not that long, but they're another injury away from going into the real bowels of the depth. Like, we all heard all offseason about depth from David Stearns.
I don't think that's right.
It's not even close.
What?
Bowels of the depth.
Yeah, the bowels of the depth, yeah. I think I got that nailed.
No, I think it's reversed. I think it's the depth of the bowels?
No.
There is no such thing as depth, Evan.
Depth.
No,
yeah.
You can't
pitching
go.
Pitching depth.
No, you can't. No, you can't go to a depth though. If I said I went to the depth of the ocean, I'm in the ocean. It's the depth. It's you're going to the bowels, so you're going deep into the bowels.
So bowels of the earth is a phrase that refers to Earth's deep interior. What I'm referring to is the deep interior of the Mets pitching depth. So it makes complete sense. Like, for example, their initial pitching depth was. I'm explaining it.
I'm just laughing.
Their initial pitching depth was Paul Blackburn, Griffin Canning, and Tyler McGill.
Yeah.
Names most of us are familiar with. If they have to go into the bowels of more depth, you're talking about guys that, no offense, Sean, I'm not trying to pick on you. Lugie's a Met fan, too. He has no idea. Guys you've never heard of.
Sure.
You haven't heard of Justin Hagenman, have you? You haven't heard of Brandon Waddell? Those are the next guys in the depth, and that's where, as a Met fan, I get a little worried. Brandon Waddell is making starts in April. So my worry exists because the Mets are already testing their depth. And if they have to go deeper into their depth, like any team, you start to get worried about how deep you're going. Does that make sense? Max Kranick would be another name.
That, it does make sense. I will say, and thankfully for Met fans, if Lugie is right, at least you have Clay Holmes instead of Max Fried there. Right?
Well, look, I know you're trying to pick on Tommy.
I'm not. It's too
what
early to
I
do
will
that.
Tell you is that, shockingly enough, I'm very excited about Clay Holmes.
Oh, really?
I am.
Of course. You should be.
Well, I watched his start on Saturday. He's added that new kick changeup that you're not familiar with. You want to know why? He didn't throw it as a Yankee. He was sticking with his, well, whatever. I'm not going to get into this. But the point is,
his non-strikeout stuff as a closer?
The point is, I think Clay Holmes can be decent. But my worry, to your point, is what if there are more injuries? And that's what we're staring. Now, the third thing that we did not address deeply, but some Yankee fans are concerned about in the Are You Wary portion of our day, is Jason Dominguez in left field. You are telling us, as a Yankee fan, that despite Dominguez's issues last year briefly, and even now in spring training, you are not concerned about his ability to play left field.
I mean, I'm mildly concerned. I can't eliminate total concern, but here's the thing. It is the beginning of spring training still. I would like him not to be going through these pains, but if he's going to do it, I'd rather it now. My concern is more the fact, actually I had this argument with my dad, he's a center fielder, not a left fielder.
Right.
And I don't know why from the jump, outside of the fact that they just got Bellinger and he can only really play center in the outfield, why already they're moving a guy who should have been their center fielder for the next 10 years and moving to left. And I am having Gleyber Torres second to short nightmares here, even though Gleyber Torres originally was a shortstop. It just feels like they're almost purposely playing him out of position and that's screwing the whole thing up. That being said, an outfielder's an outfielder. You have a month to figure this out. If you get to March 26th and he's still not tracking fly balls, then yes, Evan, I will declare I'm worried. I'm going to hope he gets it together, and this is the purpose of spring training.
We will get to your calls, Yankee fans, Met fans. We have different things here in the early going that you could potentially be worried about. We'll hear from you at 888-808-1019. And I promise you, in 5 minutes at 2:30, Sean and Lugie will get to tag team me because they both are blaming me for something happening to the New York Mets right now. But we open with the worries that the Yankee fan and the Met fan may have right now. The Met fan around injuries to the rotation. Sean Manaea has an oblique issue. A worry to Giancarlo Stanton being flown back to New York, still dealing with tennis elbow. And even the worry of Jason Dominguez, who had a rough weekend playing left field. We'll get to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. Let us go to Alexis in Harlem. Good afternoon, Alexis.
Good afternoon, Evan. Is Tiki there or just Sean?
Tiki will be back tomorrow, but Sean is here. Yeah. Tommy is here. We're all happy to talk to you, sir.
Well, good, good. Well, my point is that I see why managers don't listen to us regular Joes when we outrage about simple things. Like, Jason Dominguez is a good outfielder. The only reason he missed the ball yesterday was because of the scorching sun in Tampa. Like, it wasn't that he misread the ball. It wasn't that he dropped the ball. And then I'm disappointed with Sean because Sean actually
You didn't even know I was
learn.
Here a minute ago, but tell me why.
Yeah, good point. Touche. Anyway.
Good job.
Anyway, you had the nerve to bring up Alex Verdugo? Really? Remember the black hole he was in the lineup? Do not bring up Alex Verdugo. Alex Verdugo misplayed a ball, and I know you remember that play.
Yeah, I do. Right before Baltimore.
Do you remember before
Nestor Cortes gave up a bomb to Freeman that Alex Verdugo nearly saved a game with an unbelievable catch? Obviously falling into
the I remember that. But he did so many bad things that it just erased. It canceled out all of those little things he did for us.
But you know what, Alexis? I will defend Sean in this regard. If Verdugo is brought back, it's in a very different role.
Yes.
I think last year, a part of why you dislike him, and I totally get it, was not only did he suck, but he CB'd Jason Dominguez. And I know that's a very inappropriate term. That's why I use the initials of it. He blocked him is my point.
Yes.
And so I think that added some angst, and he would not be doing that here. The thing, the reason why, as an IBO, and by the way, I'm going to be a big-ass IBO today because you Knicks fans need some IBO love from me because you guys have been moping around all day, and IBO Evan is going to make every single Knicks fan feel better today. That's coming up later.
I did hear somebody on the subway today, Evan, I know it's coming later, did say, can you believe Evan Roberts is the most positive Knicks season ticket holder that exists today?
You're funny.
The Knicks are back.
But let me IBO the Jason Dominguez situation. I've watched baseball for a very long time. I've seen guys not learn or not be able to play the outfield. For example, Todd Hundley could not play the outfield. Daniel Murphy could not play the outfield.
Knobloch.
Chuck Knobloch has some issues playing the outfield. Never have I seen a guy who is a center fielder and is considered a decent one not be able to learn left field. Like, I get it's different, but my attitudes towards Dominguez is, if you give him time, he'll be fine. Like, there's no way Jason Dominguez is going to be a liability in left field for the rest of his career. So that's one area where I would certainly put my hands on your back and give you a nice back massage and say, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't like the excuse of the scorching sun in Tampa. You ever sit out in the bleachers of a July afternoon game at Yankee Stadium?
No, you're right.
Not exactly the Alps. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. Let's go to Sean in Rockaway Park. What's up, Sean?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you today, my friend?
We're doing well. Thanks for asking, sir.
I would like to address the rotation today, so that's what I want to talk about.
Yes.
But also, I've been trying to call you guys about the Mets having like a bullpen of half long relievers, then half, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys. So my opinion is that maybe we can groom some of these guys that we have right now and then have them as, like, long relievers because we have a couple of guys injured right now. And then maybe they'll be ready during the season to, you know, to have major league innings and get in there, you know, and just eat up some innings for our guys since we have our two guys down right now. And then maybe bring up Sproat. Is that his name, Sproat?
Brandon Sproat. Yeah, the problem is I don't think Brandon Sproat and Blake Tidwell, who pitched the spring training game today, I don't think they're ready. Like, that's when we talk about pitching depth. There will be a time, hopefully, Sean, I can't guarantee it, that by June and July, maybe earlier, we're talking about young guys like Tidwell and Sproat helping them out, but they're not a part of the equation in April. Unfortunately, if the Mets have to go deeper into the depth, the equation we're talking about is guys that most fans haven't heard of.
Well, for the non-Rico listeners and just the Evan and Tiki listeners,
yes.
Evan, can you answer a question?
Go ahead.
Why are the Mets so reluctant to even think about Buddo back in the rotation?
Because I think they look at his value in the bullpen. And I think they look at Buddo and say, we've got pitching depth like Tyler McGill, like Justin Hagenman, just like Griffin Canning, and say, why rob Paul to pay Peter? Or rob Peter to pay Paul? I think I got it right.
I just feel like we were...
But, let me caveat that, Sean. If they lose another guy and they are insistent on not adding a Jose Quintana, there may come a moment where Mendy's answer on moving Buddo back to the rotation changes.
Right.
It hasn't changed yet, and I don't think it will, but it could if they continue to lose guys.
because you can't convince me his stuff is not better than a Griffin Canning already.
No, no, I think when Budo started last year, he pitched well.
Right.
But I think there's a value in him pitching out of the bullpen right now.
I understand it.
Now, the floor is your guys. You guys clearly want to blame me for the Manaea injury, so take it amongst yourselves, set the floor, and I'll decide if you're fair or not. Sean and Lugie, we'll get to tag team me.
Okay, so Lugie, obviously Friday, Carlos Mendoza joined the show.
Yes.
And you and I were talking a lot as the, you know, whenever you would go in between questions, we said, boy, Evan is really giddy here, right? Didn't he act almost like a child meeting his favorite superhero interviewing Carlos Mendoza?
Yeah,
right?
Very whimsical. Very typical whimsical. Evan. Yeah.
And typical Evan, you know, putting the Rico before the show as usual.
Always goes into business
sitting
for himself.
There, yeah. You know, knocking there, can't wait. Tiki's barely finishing asking a question before Evan has to get the next question out.
Yeah, interrupting Carlos as he's talking. Yeah, he has a habit of doing that.
Evan couldn't wait to get this question out. And boy, did it sit with me all weekend, or specifically today, actually. I don't know why I'm even over-exaggerating on all weekend. Did Evan cost the Mets? That's the simple thing.
Did I cost the Mets?
Why don't you hear the question?
All right.
Mendoza and
go ahead. Now I'm going to knock on wood. I'm going to knock on wood when I ask this question, because obviously guys have to stay healthy. But are you ready on February 21st to make it official? And that is, Sean Manaea is your opening day starting pitcher. Are you ready to do it, Carlos?
No, I'm not ready to do that. You just said it. February 21st. I mean, we still got, what, 6-7 weeks? Guys are still building up. Sean threw his live BP yesterday.
All right. We don't need to hear Carlos' answer.
I had to get that part.
You can lower it.
He threw that live BP?
Hold on. I'm going to defend myself with this regard. For anyone who thinks I jinxed Sean Manaea or jinxed him, is that your point? Do you guys think I jinxed Sean Manaea?
You literally said, knock on wood, as if that would actually prevent a jinx.
Yes, in my opinion, the knock on wood eliminates the jinx.
Evan, you've been knocking on wood for 40-plus years, and you're the biggest jinx walking.
Yeah. Also, this isn't wood.
Also, because it wasn't actual wood?
Should have knocked on your head.
The worst thing you could ever do in the world is claim you're doing something that you're not. You lied to Carlos Mendoza.
Wait, this isn't, of course this is
this
wood.
This is not wood.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's countertop. This is not wood.
Dude, it's what's underneath the countertop?
But you're knocking on the wrapped fake marble.
It's absolute wood. And by the way, even if it's not wood, once you declare, I'm knocking on wood, you've eliminated yourself from being a jinx.
No, you need to literally knock on actual wood to do that.
That's ridiculous.
No, that's the way it works. You lied to the sports gods, and the sports gods have punished you and other fans as a result.
If I'm able to prove that this little countertop we're sitting in front of is actual wood,
it's not wrapped with wood.
But let's just say I prove
you're not knocking on the wood.
If I bring in the architecture people here at WFAN, and they confirm this is wood, would you say, all right, Ev, you're cleared?
No, because there's still something over the wood you're knocking on.
I'm still knocking on wood!
No, you're not. You should know the difference at your age,
Tommy,
between wood and no wood.
I understand Sean being a troll.
Yep.
You have to be on my side with this.
Well, let me just say that the views expressed right now are not the views of Positive Tommy. This is just regular Tommy. Positive Tommy doesn't believe in jinxes. Regular Tommy would tell you this. Who the heck cares who the opening day starter is?
Oh, no, you're wrong about that.
No, stop it.
That's a symbolic thing, Tommy.
The Mets have had more starting pitchers start opening day than probably any franchise in the history of sports. It's really not that symbolic. Why did you? There was a million questions you could have asked. Why did you have to put that in
the atmosphere? Because that's an important one.
And what's the thing about Sean Manaea that we love most about him? He never gets hurt.
So
until you open your big mouth on Friday.
I said knock on wood. I believe the jinx goes away when you acknowledge that you're trying to eliminate the jinx.
Here's why. Evan, with all due respect, you're a schmuck. But I said with all due respect. No, I called you a schmuck. You can't just throw with all due respect in front of it. You saying knock on wood doesn't matter.
This is the first time you two are agreeing on something.
Look, when the guy's got a point, he's got a point.
All right, you know what? Since it's two against one, and I assume, Rosie, you agree. I really don't want you to say too much, but do you agree or disagree?
Agree. I think that's for Micah. Not wood.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Because I'm because I'm being outvoted, and I am respectful of this, I want to apologize.
Okay.
I want to apologize to Carlos Mendoza. I want to apologize to Sean Manaea, and I want to apologize to my fellow Met fans. I jinxed Sean Manaea being ready for opening day, and I hope that my fellow Met fan would forgive me.
And when Tiki returns tomorrow, you will be under L investigation.
That's fine. I'm under. Look,
also apologize to anybody that's already booked a trip to go to opening day, expecting to see Sean Manai.
Well, first of all, opening day's on the road. It's in Houston.
Do you know what booked a trip means?
Nobody booked opening day to see Sean Manai pitch. They booked opening day to see the Mets open in Houston.
All right. I guarantee there's at least one call that went, man, Manai's pitching, I'm going.
Stop it. Okay. By the way, I know where this is going to end. Okay, I just have a feeling. So I'm going to make you a long-term prediction right now on February 24th. The person that will get the baseball on opening day for the New York Mets will be none other than Clay Holmes.
Boy, you
no doubt in my mind.
How many Met fans, whenever Yankee fans trolled them this offseason with, Clay Holmes is your ace, fought back. He's like our fourth star.
Well, in fairness.
Now he's going to be in Houston.
Sean, in fairness, in 2022, a year where the Mets won over 100 games, their opening day starter was Tyler McGill.
Okay,
so sometimes it doesn't lead to the actual results.
Our opening day starter was Marcus Stroman. That is at home last year, but nonetheless.
Hey, guess where you went?
Yeah, I went. I cheered him on.
No, I meant you went to the World Series.
Oh, that's right. We lost. We don't count those.
Okay. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Corey in Edison, New Jersey. How are you, Corey? Corey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So, Sean mentioned the guy I want to talk about a little earlier.
Yeah.
To replace Stan, if he's going to be gone for a while, I want a professional hitter that's going to give me some pro at-bats. What about J.D. Martinez? Pull a move that Stearns did last year, bring him in last second, and maybe give us a hot month or two.
You know what's funny, Corey? It's not a bad idea. And I think that's the spot the Yankees and the Mets are in, where there are still free agents. Like, this isn't going to last forever. There are guys out there, and J.D. Martinez did make clear a few weeks ago he does not want to retire. He wants to play. And if you can bring him in on a low-money deal so it doesn't hurt Hal with the tax, and J.D. is willing to come to camp at, let's say, close to the minimum, which I don't know if he's willing to do, and it doesn't hurt you tax-wise, what would be the negative of adding a bat like J.D. Martinez?
I'm not anti it. I'm more pro Verdugo, though, because of the idea of it covers if Dominguez is bad enough. You know what I mean?
I got you.
That's why. But look, he
gives you versatility,
yes,
too, of being able to play the outfield.
Right. And that's the idea. If you sign J.D. Martinez, it's one thing to have a different role for Verdugo. What is J.D. Martinez's role in July if and when Stanton comes back?
Right. Like, you could also bring back, again, not going to excite you, but you could bring back Anthony Rizzo, who's flirting with retirement. And again, it's just giving you another body.
Right.
Because right now the Yankees don't have a lot of them. Like, Everson Pereira is a big prospect. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. Like, are the Yankees really going to say, all right, Everson, maybe they will, and I'm wrong, but are they really going to give him the confidence to say, all right, he's not playing the outfield to the middle of March. Go out there and play a little outfield till we get healthy?
I'm a big proponent of playing younger guys to an extent. I love what they did with Volpe 2 years ago. I didn't like it at the beginning of the year with Wells when they went back and forth last year. But you're already doing that with Dominguez this year. How many eggs in a contender's basket you want to have with unproven guys?
Let's go to David in Brooklyn. How are you today, David?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great.
I just want to say that you got to knock on real wood. Absolutely. I can't believe you. I'm agreeing with Sean, but it's not even close.
Why does everybody always preface that when they agree with me? I can't believe it. I have some good salient points.
Well, you're a moron. Come on. You play the villain very well. Let's just be honest. That's what's going on.
Well said.
I got a point about Jason Dominguez, and I would love to sneak in a little question for you, Evan. But I agree with you about Dominguez. It's not a huge deal. He's dropping the ball in the outfield. I mean, after all, he's just learning from his captain. Oh. He's learning from the King of New York. He dropped the ball. It's the Yankee way. Come on. That's how it goes, baby.
Any response to that, Sean, or no? You want to let that one fly?
I'm just happy you're crowning Judge the King of New York. I mean, that was my
I think he was saying it in a sarcastic way, but okay.
I'm sorry, I was sarcastic. I forgot alleged King of New York.
There you go.
I know you're a big presidential history guy. I want to get your thoughts on something that's got a lot of buzz on Twitter right now.
Yes.
What do you think about Stephen A. Smith running for president?
I mean, I'm intrigued. I have to tell you. You know where I'm at when it comes to modern-day politics? All bets are off. Like, I'm open-minded to anybody running for office. So I made this comment to a coworker the other day, and I said, right now, I am a registered Republican, but I'm a free agent because, honestly, if we want to real talk, I hate both parties. So my registering is very free agent-like.
Okay.
I move around a lot.
All right. Are you looking for, an Alonzo deal, some options?
I switch off based on the primary and how I feel about
interesting.
It.
Interesting, okay.
If Stephen A. Smith ran as a Democrat, and I think that party happens to be quite lost right now, there's a decent chance I vote for him. There's a decent chance. So my answer to that is bring him on.
Based on his Knicks takes?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's the reason.
All right, interesting.
I'm sick of this team. That's it. His opinion on Madison Square Garden and the Knicks has warmed me up to consider voting for him in a potential Democratic primary.
By the way, speaking of presidents, I don't know if either one of you saw this. You know Kyle Hamilton of the Ravens?
Yes.
He had a tweet that went like super viral, and he posed this question. This is right up Evan's alley, multiple alleys.
Go ahead.
Not trying to be political, but if all 45 presidents were in a Royal Rumble, who would win?
Oh, it's not even close.
Not even close.
Not even
close. You have no flair for the dramatic. What do you mean not even close? What if they drew number one and they had to last an hour in the Royal Rumble?
Well, okay. All right, fine.
Wow.
If I think longevity would be a big issue for my ultimate winner, but the winner of the presidential Royal Rumble is a war hero. A man who we would not be here if it wasn't for his bravery. And don't tell me about his win-loss record before the revolution. I get it. It wasn't perfect against the French and the Indians. All right, I understand. But clearly George Washington would win that rumble. I don't think there's any doubt.
No, it's Taft. Who's going to put him over the top rope?
Just because he's fat?
Yes! Yes!
How many Royal Rumbles did Andre the Giant win?
That's not an Andre.
How many Royal Rumbles did... Yoko did win a Royal Rumble. I take that back. How about Earthquake? How many Royal Rumbles did Earthquake win?
Blame the Booker.
And who's the heavyset gal in WWE now that couldn't win the Rumble this year?
The heavyset gal who could not win the... Oh, Nia Jax?
Yeah. I mean, she should have won that thing based on size alone.
Well, look, Rosie brought up a dumb point. He basically said, well, I'm picking the largest person.
Yeah.
No,
Wasn't George Washington, like, by all accounts, weren't we smaller people back then?
I think we were smaller people, but he's tougher. Like... I think just in general...
Tougher. The man didn't brush his teeth.
Exactly. He had wooden teeth. I think in general, we are softer as human beings, and I'll tell you why. Because we have more to help us. Like, if I have to go to the bathroom, I go to a toilet. If I'm hot out, I turn the air conditioning on. If I need to go somewhere, I get in a car. George Washington didn't have any of those luxuries.
Your go-to on being tough is that we have toilets and he had trees?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. We'll get back to your calls next at 888-808-1019. And coming up in just a few minutes, we'll say right around 3 o'clock, I will do something I don't want to do. Something I really, really don't want to do, but my intellectual honesty is forcing me to do it. I'm going to calm down, Knick fans.
Oh, boy.